Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guest in just a minute. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, once again, thank you for the wonderful, the powerful, the tremendous gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be able to open up your word and hear from you and hear from heaven every single day of our lives. What a privilege, what a gift, what an honor it is to be able to do that, Lord. Help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to spend time with you one-on-one as we spend time reading and meditating on your word each and every day. And Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of how that your word guides us in every part of life, in our families, in our homes, in our relationships, in every part of your life. Your word is an accurate and a reliable guide to help us walk in wisdom, grace, and victory. We do thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you once again, we're still inviting and encouraging you to get involved with the National Truth for Youth Bible Week here at Urban Family and AFR. Help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teenagers. Urban Family, AFR, and Revival Fires International invite you to help us get the Word of God into the hands of kids in our nation's public schools. You can get one free Truth for Youth Bible. It will be given to every student in a home between the ages of 13 and 18 who promise to pass it along to a friend in school. The goal is to help get God's Word back into our public schools. And, of course, this is something that's very legal and within the legal rights of students to do. And the Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths and direction. Thousands of young people have already received Christ. Over 25,000 Bibles over the last 15 years have been shared with, over 25,000 young people have come to know Christ as Bibles have been shared through this outreach over the years. Our goal this year is to get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of our teens. Will you help us reach that goal? We've gotten just a little over 46,000. We have a ways to go. And so we're inviting and encouraging you to call us before 4 o'clock today and get involved in this. The number to call to order your free Bible is 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737. Or visit revivalfires.com online. Again, those are two different ways to order the free Bible. Once again, the number 1-800-733-4737. Or go to revivalfires.com online. These are two different ways to order your free Bible to help put the gospel in the hands of teens who need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Again, we're grateful to have with us in studio today Victory McIntosh. It's been a long time.
I know, Pastor Parker. Hey.
Good to have you again.
Thank you.
And of course, lots and lots of you probably know her voice and know who she is. Victory is the host of the Jesus Jams here on Urban Family, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. But it's great to have her back. It's been a while, but great to have her back on the Hour of Intercession.
Can I sing a secular song real quick? You know this one.
Go right
it's
ahead.
Been a long... Wait, is that gospel? Long time coming.
I don't know that one either way.
So. No, but I know change gonna come. You know that one.
For the glory of the Lord. All right. But good
Welcome
to have
back.
You back on,
Thank
Dave.
You, Pastor Parker.
And as we start off, I want you to reintroduce yourself to some of our listeners. So
yeah.
A few of them might not know you. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I have two names. I was born with the name Jade McIntosh, but I go by Victory on Urban. And like you say, you can catch me in the evenings with Jesus Jams. But I have the privilege of working with great people like you, Pastor Parker, Urban Family, American Family Association, and I'm just glad to be here. I really am. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Good to have you on, Jade. And Jade, I remember it was not long after you went to school at Rhema Bible College.
Come on now, Rhema!
A few years ago.
Yes, sir.
And not long after that, you came on staff, and it's been great to have you. Tell our listeners a little bit about Rhema.
Okay. Shout out to Rhema. I'm doing social media live, Pastor Parker. You can wave to the people.
Okay.
But Rhema is a seminary school based out of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, next to Tulsa, which is where ORU is. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's the best Bible college in the world.
Okay.
I'm biased. Pastor Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Mm-hmm. It's where I knew of the Old Testament, but it wasn't until I went there when I started endeavoring more in the Old Testament. It wasn't until I went there when my faith in the Lord was built. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I went there where I learned more about healing and where I became more loud. I was already loud, you know what I mean? But I love my Rhema. I actually just was there a few weeks ago. We had camp meeting, which was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Mark Hankins was there. I can't think of all the other speakers, but it was just a great experience. It's one of those places where the move of the Spirit is always up in that place at all times.
Praise God. That's good. Thanks for sharing that, Jay. Well, let me ask you this, too. Now, one of the topics we wanted to deal with today is, of course, you and I both have the privilege of being volunteers with the Empower program it's an outreach of Parkgate Pregnancy Clinic here in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
Basically bringing the message of abstinence into our public schools. And
yes.
So you've been a part of that, I think over the last 2 years or so?
This year we'll make, yes, sir, a little over a year or so.
Okay.
This will be going on 2 years. Yes, sir.
Okay, then. And I've had a chance to be a part of it, I think about a little over 3 years then. So
get it, Pastor Parker.
Great program to get in, to be a part of.
Absolutely.
And it addresses such an important need, the need for us to teach our young people truths about relationships, sex, and sexuality from a Bible perspective now. And, of course, you know, in the use of the curriculum, it doesn't use the Bible per se, but they're truths that come from the Word of God that they're
Absolutely.
Based on. So great curriculum. So as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll share just some of your initial thoughts about the opportunity of being involved with this program and why it's important as well.
Absolutely. Every school, especially these public schools that the LGBTQ is trying to just infuse with filth, needs an Empower program. It was you who actually introduced it to me so that I could be a part of it, and I'm so grateful. Those teens, oh my goodness. You know, the Bible says train up a child in which the way he should go and he won't depart. Well, mm-hmm. unfortunately, a lot of these kids nowadays are in homes where their parents, bless their hearts, they need discipling. Empower to me is like a form of discipleship. Not necessarily like, you know, legit full out discipleship is where it's one-on-one, but Empower is definitely a great way to plant those seeds and even water some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those kids, of course, you know, the females, we cater to the teen girls and the males. I know you were with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And man, those girls, like, okay, so when I first, the very first time I did one, you know, I'm short. And I have to let them know, don't let the height fool you. And, you know, black don't crack. So, of course, I look young. I look like I'm their mm-hmm. age. And so you have to
you
lay
look
the
like
line.
One of the high school students.
I'm like, no, I'm 26. Mm-hmm. But those girls, oh, my goodness, like many of them are very active. Like I realize I am a little green concerning to some of the new language concerning like different forms of acts of sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I like about Empower. We don't sugarcoat. Like we talked about oral sex, but ultimately what we emphasize and what I emphasize to the girls is the importance of waiting till marriage
mm-hmm.
to have sex. And I
right.
thank God the Lord leads me because like you said, we necessarily don't use the Bible, but the Lord leads me on ways to say things where somebody, you best believe when somebody bring up the Bible, I go at it hardcore, you know,
mm-hmm.
But man, like there were some girls who were already sexually active. I've spoken with the seventh grade girls and the eighth grade girls. Man, there was a girl I've been in a class where she was pregnant. And that's another thing I iterate to them is we're not here to make anyone feel bad. I am here to empower you to desire to wait. If you messed around in the past, this is your day to start new to the glorify of God.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think of this, too, that, you know, the curriculum is an excellent curriculum. And one of the areas that as we start out from, you know, like in a brand new week is we talk about making wise decisions.
Yes.
And, you know, decision making is such an important part of life. And, of course, the goal is that we make wise decisions because, You know, something that's interesting to discuss with the kids as you introduce the topic, our lives are full of decisions every single day, some big, some little, some important, some less important. But making wise decisions across the board, especially the big ones, because the big ones can affect you not only for today, but for next week, next month, next year. And some decisions will affect you for a lifetime. So it's important that we help kids make wise decisions.
Yeah. And if I may add, Pastor Parker, another thing that I add to the girls, because we do talk about decisions. And like you said, one decision can, I don't want to say mess up your life, but alter it for the rest of your life, you know. Right. And so another thing that we emphasize with the girls is also being wise on the friends you have. One girl, oh my gosh, it just touched my heart. One girl, because you know it's 3 days that we do it. Is it three? 3 days?
Sometimes three, and sometimes it may sometimes be 5 days. It just depends on the school and the layout of the time.
Oh, one of the girls, I'll never forget, she wrote me a letter, and she just said, she said she never thought of, she thought about having sex due to many of her friends being sexually active. But she said after hearing, because I don't mind to tell people I am a virgin. I'm waiting. Has it been easy? And I'm real with the girls. No, we live in this flesh. I said, but I made the decision years ago that I desired to wait for my husband, my honey bunny. He already got a nickname. And so she said that after hearing my testimony, she said, I now want to wait. And I just give God all the glory. And then come to find out that I go straight to, are you a believer of Jesus? And she said she was. And I said, great. I said, the thing you need to do now is you need to examine your friends. Like, are they all desiring to live from the Lord? Because naturally, if you're among a group of people who are going the wrong direction, it's going to persuade you. Let's be real here. So we've had a lot of great testimonies from girls. And I love doing it. I just do. Because it's God's way of living. You know what I mean? It says the wages of sin is death. And I want these girls to live.
That's right. You know, God's way is the best way to do any and everything. And, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not commit adultery.
Right.
And, of course, just, you know, Scripture speaks very clearly to these topics. I think of in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Well, again, it's important for us to know that sex is to be found within the context of marriage between husband and wife and nowhere else. And God's word is clear on that. But there's such a great need for the church and for believers, for parents, and and in the right context, schools teach and share those truths in such a way where kids can hear it and understand it. Because contrary to what some people would have you believe, children will make wise and right decisions when they're taught right time and time again. And so we should never think it's a lost cause, because it's not. And if when we, the church, do our job, people will not only be saved, but they'll begin to walk in the Word of God and reap the benefits of doing that as well.
May I ask you a question, Pastor Parker? Because another thing I've noticed is a lot of quote-unquote Christians. Oh, I got to ask it quickly, don't I have time?
You got a few moments.
Okay. Is many Christians who see nothing wrong with shacking up. Like, even teens, like, they saw nothing wrong with a guy touching them in certain places that, of course, we all know will lead to something else. Like, why is it? And that's the thing I'm trying to work on. Like, why is – I'm trying to – empathize in a sense, like, how is it many Christians who go to church, young people who think it's okay to play around and shack up, and they think they're gonna bust heaven wide open? I'm still trying to figure that one out. I really am. I'm like, I don't get it.
Well, you know, that's a powerful point, Jade. And I tell you what, we're just about coming up on a break now, but we'll pick up with that on the other side. But it's very important for us to know that God's word is an accurate guide for every part of life, and it'll help us in this area as well as every other area of life, too. So we'll touch on that. But again, great question, because there's lots of people that are living together nowadays, and a lot of those people go to church every Sunday.
So sad.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Victory McIntosh. We'll be right back after this break.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women 25 and up sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
All week long, Revival Fires International is giving away thousands of Truth for Youth Bibles. You can have one if you promise to pass it on to a student in your school who's not a believer.
We saw so many lives changed and seeds planted in the hearts of our students.
They went through the first 100 like water, and the kids that didn't get a Bible were begging for them.
Each Bible contains the entire New Testament, along with 100 pages of comics dealing with the truth about issues of moral concern.
We called him a Jesus freak for it. One day he was taking his lunch and I knocked his tray out of his hand. And instead of getting mad, he turned around and told me that Jesus loved me and gave me a Truth for Youth Bible.
Help bring the message of the gospel to America's youth. Get a free Truth for Youth Bible by ordering online at revivalfires.com or call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737.
So much deeper, I can't even imagine.
The music of Tasha Cobbs, the song I've Got Confidence. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have in studio with us today Victory McIntosh. And she, again, she's the host of Jesus Jams here on Urban, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Grateful to have her in studio. And today we're talking about both the Empower curriculum that we share that's a part of an abstinence-based education program that's shared in public schools, and also talking about the importance of the need for the church and believers to really address the topics of relationships and sexuality from a Bible perspective. God's word is what will save people. It's what will help people walk in a life, live a life that honors the Lord and a life that helps us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And Victor, let me mention this too. You know, in the Word of God, in the book of Proverbs, it has a very powerful passage here that lays out an interesting story, an interesting scenario. I would encourage every listener to read it in its entirety. But this is Proverbs chapter 7, and it tells a powerful story that's worth really paying much attention to. And God put it in His Word to give us guidance and instruction about the topic of being careful and being prayerful about our relationships. Chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. Passing along the street near her corner, he took the path to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Verses 1 through 27, all of Proverbs chapter 7. And you know, Victor, as I look at that chapter, it's important to know too, and the book of Proverbs, and several days ago we dealt with this topic. Proverbs is, amongst other things, it's like a textbook for all of life and a textbook for parents to teach their children from. And that's a number right. of the Proverbs, they begin with the words, my son or my children or something along that line. And it clearly points out it's a parent talking to their children or their child about life, about issues. And Proverbs deals with many different topics. Well, one of those topics, of course, is being careful how we carry ourselves in the area of relationships, sex, and sexuality. Well, here you find where it lays out the story of a young man that goes to the wrong part of town. He goes to the wrong part of town, the wrong time of night. He runs into the wrong person. A lady finds him, and it doesn't say she's a prostitute. It says she's dressed like one. And so it makes a statement about her clothing as well. But also, it points out she catches him, kisses him, and says, I've been looking for you. Of course, she's got a mean rap. She knows what to say and how to say it. Mm-hmm. And the Bible wants us to know that we need to teach our sons. There are girls out there that can draw their sons in wrong directions, and there are boys out there that can draw their daughters in wrong directions. So we as parents and we who are leaders in the church need to take it upon ourselves to really talk to them about these issues out there, because The world is a dangerous place, and we need to equip our kids with the wisdom from God's word. But any thoughts about that passage that comes to your mind?
Yes, I'm so glad you read that. Like, okay, so I have a brother. He is so handsome, you know, and he went to college. Mm-hmm. And there were girls, and I'm 26, but it's sad that there are men in their late 20s and early 30s who still try to spit game. And I'm like, this is not high school anymore. Mm-hmm. But, man, absolutely, the enemy is... The way he deals with people is through sex. You see it through the movies, through soap operas, commercials, everywhere. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, I'm tired of this. I haven't even had any, but I'm tired of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I love this passage because it goes to show you how sneaky and how the enemy works. Right. And I like how you brought up her attire. It never said she was a prostitute, but she dressed like one. That's why I'm big. If you are a Christian, you shouldn't be showing cleavage, ladies. Mm-hmm. I'm on live on Facebook. If you are a Christian, men, you need to pull up those pants. We are ambassadors of Christ. Naturally, when you renew your mind in God's word, but you got to get in his word, you'll dress like you are righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. You'll act like it. You won't be going around like you're a hoe. Let's be real. We be real up on this, don't we, Pastor Parker?
That's right.
Like,
that's
I mean, it's just, this is real talk. And so my heart just, I'm just like, man, people, because... diseases are real. That's another thing I thought about. I wish Proverbs would elaborate it more. But another thing I like about this chapter in Proverbs, it shows that the Bible speaks about everything. There's nothing new. Mm-hmm. You know how some young people say, these folks don't know what we go through. Things have changed. No, nothing has changed.
Human nature is just like it was a long time ago.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, I think of, too, that like in a few moments, we're going to look at Proverbs 5, and it talks about STDs. It addresses that issue, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's important to understand this, that as parents, we need to prepare our children with the Word of God to help them to know the traps and the schemes and the traps that the devil sets for them out in the world. And, you know, often we talk about the fact that we need to give guidance and direction to our young people, and that's true. But the reality is a lot of grown folks need a lot of help. They need the Word of God, the guidance and the direction of God's Word, because to be quite honest, many children have very sad and poor role models sometimes in their parents or their relatives or kinfolk, because their parents live just as wild sometimes as they do. And that's sad. And many adults are terrible role models because they don't follow the Word of God. They do kind of what they want to do. And there are lots of adults that care themselves, in fact, not as well as some children. So it's important for us to know that we all need to take guidance and direction from the Word of God. And God's Word is always looking out for us. And so when we listen to the Word of God and follow it, it's always going to help us.
I totally agree. And that's why I love speaking also about the Holy Ghost. That's why people need to be have him activated. You know what I mean? Like when the moment that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the moment the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But then the evidence of him, we're going to get in tongues today. Glory to God. And also is when he's indwelling in you, you're led by him. I love in John 14:17, Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world does not know nor receive him, but you know him. You got to be led by the Lord on, okay, this is somebody I don't need to be engaging in a relationship with. This is someone that's not going to be beneficial to me, because my mindset, I honestly, I thank God my parents did not allow us to date till we were like, man, 15 was like family dates, and I still wouldn't call that dating. 16 was chaperone. 17 was still chaperone.
See, they loved you enough to give you some guidelines and direction and to protect you.
Yes, so. A relationship without rules is rebellion. Mm-hmm. I heard that years ago, and that is so true. Because I love you, babies, this is why I'm giving you these rules. Parents who just allow their children to do any and everything, oh my goodness, they don't love. They don't know how to love. But it is sad. Oh, you gonna read the story? I'm sorry.
I'm gonna share a story. Okay. This is an illustration story that one we actually use with the Empower curriculum, but a powerful story. It's simply entitled Michael's Story, and of course, it's a fictional character. But it says this. It was a summer day when 16-year-old Michael went to his friend's house to hang out with some of the guys from high school. They'd been goofing off for about 30 minutes when one of his friends got a text that some girls from the high school wanted to stop by for a little while. The guys were excited, and the parents weren't home, so they wouldn't have to feel like someone was watching everything they did. The girls arrived about 20 minutes later. Michael knew a couple of them from school, and one girl named Melissa seemed to really be interested in him. Michael and Melissa talked and flirted a while. Michael went into the kitchen to get a drink when a couple of the guys came in. One of them said, Hey, Michael, looks like Melissa really has a thing for you. Man, she's hot. One of the other guys said, yeah, man, she looks good, and I heard she's a sure thing, if you know what I mean. You should take advantage of that situation. This is your big chance. Michael said, what? I don't even know that girl. I'm not going to sleep with her. Come on, Michael. What more could you ask for? You've got a hot girl who likes you in a house with no parents around. Sounds like the perfect opportunity to me, unless you're scared. What? Michael said. No, I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I just think my first time should be special. The guy started laughing and teasing Michael. Michael, without meaning to, had just admitted to his friends that he was a virgin, and they made him feel like he was a real freak, and he felt shame. What happened next seemed like a bad dream when Michael remembers it. He ended up doing something he didn't want to do just to get the guys to let the pressure up off from him, to get off his back. He walked out of the kitchen, went into the living room, and grabbed Melissa's hand. He led her into a bedroom. The guys were right. She was a sure thing. That night after Michael went to bed, he felt really down. He felt really disgusted at himself. How could he have made something that should have been such a special thing into a random, cheap act? But the depression that he felt that night was nothing in comparison to the sick feeling that hit him 7 weeks later when Melissa called him to tell him she was pregnant. A paternity test confirmed that he was the father of the baby. Michael didn't really love Melissa. He didn't even really know her. There would be no wedding. He did get a part-time job after school so that he could give Melissa money for diapers and things like that. Where were Michael's friends who encouraged him to take advantage of the quote-unquote situation? Nowhere to be found, especially when it was Michael's turn to keep the baby. Michael grew to love the baby and was proud of his son as he grew up. He knew that his son was a blessing, but if he could do it all over again, he wouldn't be a 16-year-old father. He would save sex for the girl that would one day be his wife. Now, a powerful story and a powerful example, but what jumps out to you, Victor, as you listen to that story?
Pastor Parker, when he said, first time should be special, he said, I want my first time to be special. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, I want to wait for my first son to be with my wife. Mm-hmm. I've met young people who are Christians, go to church, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And they've told me, and I'm just very straightforward. I just mm-hmm. don't, you know, I feel like that's the problem with some churches, mm-hmm. And the reason why the rates of teenage pregnancy is because people aren't just getting straight to the point. Mm-hmm. And I've asked some Christian young people, I asked them, so are you going to wait? Are you desiring to wait till marriage before you have sex? And I've had them to tell me, I'm waiting for that special person. Mm-hmm. I knew of a young lady.
So not necessarily marriage
Not marriage, mm-hmm. just that special person. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, I bring up the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a gentleman just a few weeks ago when I when I was in Oklahoma, you know, I was visiting there at Rhema, and love him dearly, brother in the Lord. And mm-hmm. so I asked him, because I knew of his past of endeavoring in sex before marriage. And I said, I'm just straightforward, right? I said, so are you keeping yourself well? And he pauses and he says, the Lord and I are talking about it. Mm-hmm. There was no passion of, I am striving, I'm fighting at this, the Lord is helping me to overcome. None of that. It was just very general. Like, in other words, like, mm-hmm. it's okay that I dibble and dabble here and there.
And that's sad.
Man, that's a sincere conscience to me.
You know, it's important for us to know, too, that if we genuinely love the Lord, then we're going to strive to obey His
at
word.
At all,
you know,
times.
Too. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the chance for us to hear your word and to walk in, and help us to be wise as parents and as believers to live as good role models for our young people who are teaching them and showing them how to honor you in life. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Dave?
Over here, John. Thanks for meeting me like this.
What are we doing in here?
Well, you're one of the only people I know who shares my Christian beliefs. And this is the only place I know we won't offend anyone.
Don't cave to the pressures of society. Stand. Blog and share your thoughts on subjects that matter. See what others are saying and join the discussion at The Stand. Visit afa.net/The Stand.
going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the Track Stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go!
Dr. Tony Evans says when faith changes us on the inside, it ought to show on the outside. He'll take us to John 13:35 today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When you have a cold, you have symptoms. You sneeze, you cough, your nose is running, your eyes are watering. You have flu, there's a symptom. The symptom on the outside suggests there's something wrong on the inside because the symptoms show up. God says if you're a serious follower of mine, there ought to be symptoms. There ought to be something on the outside that shows that you're connected to me on the inside. There ought to be some symptoms other folk can see. By this all men shall know you're my disciples, because they see the symptom of the reality through the love. So if we're going to be serious about being disciples of Jesus Christ, he says we've got to be serious about love, about the decision to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of others, and some of those others will include people you do not prefer. People who shut you down, get on your nerves, drive you crazy, make you want to run the other way. You know one of the reasons God allows that? Is to teach you to love what you don't like. Because love is a decision. To compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another. Because God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. He didn't wait for us to look lovely before we got loved.
Learn more about the importance of unconditional love in Dr. Evans' message series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 minutes with Tony.
Maybe three times and once. Oh, now put it all together, and what are you?
music of Forever Jones, the song Musical Revival. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We have in studio with us today Victory McIndosh. Grateful to have her with us along for the ride. And today we're looking at the topic of relationships and sexuality from a Bible standpoint as it's presented in the Empower curriculum as shared in an abstinence-based program in public schools. And, you know, it's a very important topic to look at as well. And it's important for us as believers to understand this. And of course, today we're talking about it from a Bible perspective. You know, when we go in the schools, we don't get a chance to share the Bible. But the truths are important truths that will bless and help the young right. people tremendously then. So now in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, there's another chapter along with chapter 7, powerful chapter that speaks powerfully to this topic. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion. And your lips may keep knowledge, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others. In your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and ye mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Verses 1 through 23, all of chapter 5. Now, Victor, as we look at this passage, it's a proverb by Solomon in which he's laying out two different sides of the topic of relationships and sexuality. The first portion he talks about the problems that come with living a sexually immoral life, the problems and the detriment of living that kind of life. And then he makes a quick turn at verse 15 and talks about the blessings and the wisdom of keeping one's sexuality within the context of marriage. And in the first portion, again, it speaks of the problems that come. Of course, he's encouraging us to avoid sexual immorality. But he says in verse 8, remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Now, of course, he's characterizing the sin as if it's a female, but it can be a man or a woman.
You better
immoral
say it.
Men and women, immoral boys and girls as well. Verse 9 says, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Now, part of what he's talking about is when a person lives a sexually loose and immoral life, it can mess up, amongst other things, it can mess up their reputation, mm-hmm. give them a bad reputation in the world. And there are lots of people that, sadly, that's what has happened in their life. They have a terrible reputation because of the actions in this area of their life. Verse 10 says, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Now, part of what that means is lots of people spend lots of their money on sexual immorality and the related activities, whether it's buying pornography, investing in pornography, prostitution, men and women. Well, of course, many people throw away lots of money because of an immoral lifestyle. Then verse 11 says, and mourn at last, when your flesh and your body are consumed. In other words, this person has caught some sort of sexually transmitted disease and they're dying. And says their body is wasting away, and they say they realize it at last. And verse 12 says, how I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. In other words, at the end of their life, when they're almost dead, they've realized how I messed up my life because I've lived such an immoral life. And what a tragedy, but this person, has their life is wasting away now because of a wild and sexually immoral lifestyle, and it's caught up with them. And as the scripture teaches, you reap what you sow. Well, one might would ask, why does God put this in the Bible? Because he loves us enough to want us to know There are those kind of people out there that will lead you into sin, men and women,
right,
boys and girls. And God wants us to, he wants us to be able to avoid these pitfalls, to avoid these problems, these trials, that these troubles that can come to our life if we live a disobedient life. Mm. And as I said, in verse 15, it turns a corner and it talks about the blessings of keeping one's sexuality within the context of marriage. Verse 15 says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. And verse 16 is a question. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? In other words, why have children all over the neighborhood? Why have them all over the community? You know, the goal is you keep your children within the context of marriage, within your own home. Verse 17, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Now, for time reasons, we won't continue all the way through it, but a powerful chapter in the book of Proverbs that once again talks about the blessings of keeping one's sexuality within the context of marriage and the problems that come when people live a sexually immoral lifestyle.
Yes. Oh, I've met them, you know, and not in the sense of me judging anyone by no means, but even though we can judge, but that's a whole nother topic. But in the sense I've met people who endeavored in lifestyles Christians of sex who were not married, mm-hmm. and they wonder why they're struggling. They're thinking it's the devil, but what it is their own actions. Mm-hmm. Like you said earlier, there are consequences to our actions. I knew of a young girl, thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. She was a lesbian at one time. She's now married with two boys.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome story. To a man, she's now married. But she said that she remembered she was going to church, dating a female. She's a female. And she said one day she went home and the verse right here where you read in Proverbs about verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh my gosh. She said that she went to hell. She dreamed that she went to hell and she was mm-hmm. burning in hell. My God, you can't tell me somebody wasn't praying for that sister.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the Lord she got delivered. But what crossed my mind was, just when you're living in this set, like infused with just sex mm-hmm. outside of God's order of how it's supposed to be done, which is in marriage, mm-hmm. man, yeah, you're going to have Hades on earth. You are.
You reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, of course, part of the curriculum that we deal with in the public school systems is we do talk about the different STDs. And, you know, science has discovered 141 different STDs out there.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of diseases. And basically, one can basically avoid all of them by keep living a sexually moral lifestyle. But on the other hand, again, the fact is many people have many of these diseases in their bodies because that's the lifestyle they've lived. And so it's important to know, too, God's looking out for us.
Yes.
He wants the best for us. And if we follow his word, then lots of these things we don't have to worry about.
No, sir.
But then there's lots of reason for many people to worry because they live such an immoral and just a sad and wicked lifestyle.
And if I may, Pastor Parker, I just want to say to those who may be listening right now and you have endeavored in sexual sin and maybe the Lord is pricking your heart right now, we're not here to make you feel bad. We're here to help you because we love you. And you can turn it around today. Maybe you have an STD. Maybe you even have some type of disease or AIDS. Jackson, Mississippi is up the street. And apparently from studies, there's a high rate of AIDS. There's a lot of men who are on the down low, but that's a whole nother story. But if that is you, like you can change that today, change your lifestyle and get right with the Lord.
That's right. We serve a God that's a forgiving Heavenly Father. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we serve a God that will forgive. But it's important to know, too, that knowing God and following God is a critical part of life. And it's an important way to really live a full and a fulfilling life. And the fact is there are lots of individuals that need to pursue marriage.
Ooh.
You know, the Bible says in, again, quoting Proverbs 13:4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So, again, there are many persons that basically they need to say, Lord, bless me with the husband or the wife that I desire, because, again, that's God's way. That's God's system. And that's how we honor God in this part of our lives. And so if persons say, well, I'm just not really marriage material. I don't want to get married. then what they need to decide that they're just going to be abstinent.
Can I punch that man? Because I have a question, Pastor Parker. Because there's a lot of ladies like myself. Okay, I know we talked about the teens, but let's get to the young adults, Christian women who desire their husband. You know, I mean, I see why there are some women who aren't getting married to their 40-something because it's like it takes men 40 years to get themselves together. I'm sorry, I'm venting here. I'm trying to calm down. But like, what do we do? You know what I mean? Because there are times where I'm like, okay, Lord, maybe I'll just be single forever. I don't want to be, but I refuse to settle. You know what I mean?
Well, I would. My response to that would be, I really, and I mean this very sincerely, reading the book of Ruth is a powerful tool to address that. The book of Ruth is a powerful example of a young lady who, and of course, she was widowed at a young age, but she threw herself into living for God and serving God, and God blessed her not only to be married, but blessed her with children, and also put her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
That's true.
And so the fact is, God's way is the best way to do anything. And you know, the scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That book is a wonderful book to read and to meditate on and really listen to. And in fact, I would encourage any person pursuing marriage, actually men or women, because it speaks both to women and men too, read and meditate on that book and stay in that book to a great extent and pray it back to God and let God know the desires of your heart, because we serve a God that when he sees us committing ourselves to doing things his way, he knows how to, you know, he knows how to make dreams come true. And the fact is the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Can you emphasize that more to the men? Because they're the ones that they're slow at catching on.
Well, there are a lot of slow fellas out there. That's true. That's true. But we need to pray for the men and the women out there.
Mainly
well
the
too.
Men, though.
But, but it is a need for us to know if we do things God's way, it always pays off.
Yes, sir.
100% of the time. Would you say a quick word of prayer before our time runs out for our listeners today?
Absolutely. Time flies by. Father God, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, Father. And we just thank you for Pastor Parker and the hour of intercession, Lord, empowering people, Father, to soak more into your word, to seek your word for every answer that's going on in our lives, Father God. Father, I just speak for every parent and teenager that's listening, and young adult and older adult, every person that's listening to the program today, Father, that you will prick their hearts to have a fear and reverence for you, Lord, a desire to please you in every area of their lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Victor, for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Parker.
A privilege to have you. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.